Hey guys, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you guys are watching this. I'm so excited you guys are with us today. Today's a very special Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, and this represents something huge for us, symbolic for us as believers. And so I want to unpack Palm Sunday here in a minute. However, I want to just kind of cover one specific thing that kind of continues to come up. And really what it looks like for us as a church, and what's next? What is Vintage Church going to do next? A lot of people are well aware that we meet at an elementary school, Blazer Elementary, which we absolutely are head over heels for that school and for this community. And we know that AISD extended no school until May 9th. We've kind of had these conversations and the feeling out of this is that chances are the school year is going to be canceled. We're not too sure, but at this point, that's what it's looking like as they roll out e-learning and all that kind of stuff. What that does for us is gives us some clarity on exactly what's happening in our city and how we can support our city during this time. But it also puts into question, will the facilities be available? And so for us, we don't know what that's going to look like after May 9th. So we just want to ask you to continue just to pray, just to lead. Again, we're not a church that is worried about a building. We're not a church that is about having Sunday services. We're a church that had Sunday services. We're not just a church that's labeled with Sunday service. And so we're learning in this season. However, we cannot wait to get back to a space that we can celebrate. And I think it's going to look completely different than it ever has before. So just want to ask you guys to continue just to pray with us as we navigate this and continue to reach and lean into our community and fill needs. Actually, this week on Wednesday, we're going to be supporting Blazer Elementary. And so watch out for our social media and how you can get involved with that as we go and assist the school in feeding families and just making sure that that needs are being met. And so anyhow, we just wanted to drop that in there real quick. So as we move on today, I want to, again, today is Palm Sunday. It's an exciting Sunday for us because it's symbolic to the start of Holy Week. And if you don't know what Holy Week is that there's these events, these sequences of events that are very important to us as believers, starting with today, Palm Sunday, when Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And he enters into Jerusalem with triumph, with victory. He walks in with victory. But over a course of time, the very next event is you find Jesus get arrested. And the next event after that is obviously Jesus on the cross. And then next Sunday, Easter, represents the most glorious day that you and I can celebrate, which is the day of the resurrection, in which Jesus comes back. And Jesus comes out of the tomb and he solidifies our connection with him and our connection with God. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and so I'm excited for this week. And so today, though, I want to kind of unpack Palm Sunday a little bit, because some people don't understand really the symbolic or the symbolism of what Palm Sunday really meant, not only to us right now, but what it really meant to the people living alive, witnessing it with Jesus. And so as we unpack this, the big premise you have to understand with the people of God at that time is that they were under oppression by Roman rule. The Romans ruled the land at that time. Christianity was basically managed by the Romans. And you have to understand that there was a lot of oppression, a lot of force, a lot of different things that was happening in that time. And so the people of God were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for somebody to come and break that bondage, to come and have victory over what that bondage looked like. And so they were looking not only for a horizontal freedom, not only for this plane, this world that we live in, they were looking for that freedom, but they were also going to experience a spiritual freedom. And they didn't really understand that at the point that it was happening, but most of these people were staring through this lens. What's happening in my world right now? And a lot of us, that's what we're doing. We're staring at this world right now, wondering what's happening on this plane, what's happening in this world. And let me tell you, there's something significant about what's happening this week in my life and in your life, and it starts with today. And so if you, chances are, you've been at home, you've spent a lot of time at home lately, And so your Netflix is probably on the Tiger King right now. Your Amazon is on something else, and your Disney Plus is replaying Frozen 2 for the 17th time. You're engulfed in some of that stuff right now. Well, my favorite movie that I got to watch with the kids a couple days ago was Rocky IV. Literally on the top of my list, when you rank the movies that I love, and most of you guys know I love movies, number one on my list is Rocky IV. Now, side note, if you have never watched Rocky IV, put your name in the comments, because I personally need to connect with you and I need to pray with you. You need prayer. I mean, just like Cowboy fans, you need prayer, okay? So just drop your name in there. I'll understand. We'll pray for you, but I'll also help you find the link to Rocky IV, because it's literally one of the greatest movies of all time. What I love about Rocky IV, can't go through the entire movie, but let me just tell you, Rocky faces adversity. He faces a guy bigger than him, stronger than him, weighs more than him, has probably the more ability than him, but he overcomes him. And he overcomes, and he wins this boxing match. And he has this boxing match, and it's one of the greatest boxing matches ever. And he ends up winning. He ends up defeating this thing in front of him that was bigger, stronger, probably brought fear to him. He beat it. He beat him. And at the end, he beats him. And the coolest part of the movie is at the end, when he wins, you just see kind of the victory of Rocky, and he throws his hands up in the air. He throws his hands up in the air, and there's that moment for him that is like, that's it, I won, I've got power. While he's has his hands raised, the Russian Drago he's laying on the ground. And you know, and there's something about power like that. There's something about power that you and I crave. We all love power. You see, we long for it. We desire it. We even covet it. You see, power gives us a sense of control. It gives us a sense of stability. It makes us feel like heroic conquerors, right? That we can stand over and against situations, and sometimes even people we don't like, with our hands raised, like the champion boxers we think we are. However, that's not exactly what happens on Palm Sunday. You see, the whole event is about power, but that's what the waving of palm branches was all about. You see, you hear me say Palm Sunday, and most of us are familiar with the Easter story, and they raised these palms to Jesus, and they waved them at him, right? You see, but those palm branches were a direct throwback to the Maccabean period, right? And the Maccabean period, when the triumphant Jews and their warriors rode into Jerusalem, and the people celebrated their victory over the the Seleucids. They were a group of people that were fighting against the Jews, and when the Jews would win, they would ride back into Jerusalem, victory, hands raised, and people would raise palm branches at them. You see, and at that time, the people waved the palm branches as a symbol of military conquest over an oppressive enemy. You see, by waving those palm branches, the people are saying that they're ready for war, that they want the victory of Jesus, that they want Jesus to lead them to go defeat the Roman Empire. You see, they had this idea that as Jesus was riding in, that they were going to follow him, and he was going to ride right into the Roman Empire, and that he was going to go destroy it, and that he was going to put an end to the Roman uprising. And some people say, well, how could they go from celebrating Jesus and in a sense raising these palm branches at him to just a few days later him being crucified on a cross? Partly about that is because they were expecting something, and Jesus was really on a different path. You see, this event is indeed about conquering, no doubt, but it's about raising one's hands in triumph. You see, beautifully and ironically, the Palm Sunday narrative flips the traditional notion of power on its head. They were expecting Jesus to lead and conquer the Romans the same way the Romans were used to conquering people. And so what is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday, in short, it's a day celebrated by you and me as it marks Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem just prior to his arrest, his execution, and ultimately his resurrection. I'm going to show you real quickly this story in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. This is how the story goes. It says, when they had come near Jerusalem, this is Jesus, he's walking with his disciples, he's on his way back into Jerusalem. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. And I love that, and I bolded that out on this passage because I love that. Let me pause here for just a quick second. You have a king and a Messiah and a Savior that's coming to you in your home, in your space that you least expect. He's coming into that space. You see, it says, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble, mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches. These were the palm branches from the trees and spread them all over the road. The crowds then went ahead of him and that followed and were shouting, Hosanna, right? Which is, God save us. They were looking for that Savior, right? So they start shouting that, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest of heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? See, the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. I highlighted who is this because I'm going to touch base on that here in a minute. You see, but I want to highlight a couple things about this passage. Again, picture the scene. Jesus going back into Jerusalem to start his journey to the cross. The people were expecting a king. They were expecting a God. They were expecting somebody to come and lead them against the revolution, against the Romans. Jesus shows up on a donkey. You see, first off, notice what Jesus is called. Jesus is called King. You see, this is crucial because one simply does not declare a poor, dusty-footed Jewish prophet named Jesus as king. You don't do that lightly. Again, think about the audience. You don't just say, that guy's the king. You know why? Because there was going to be consequences when you declared somebody else as king. You see, to declare Jesus as king is to declare that Caesar at that time is not your king. And there would be consequences if you said, this is the king, and Caesar is not. Which becomes kind of very familiar language in our world today. You see, we always have something that we revere, that we bow down to, that our lives are ruled by on a daily basis. And that's what was happening here. So when they called Jesus king, they were shifting their alliance and their submissive lifestyle and oppression and all this kind of stuff. They were shifting it to Jesus. And they were expecting, well, I'd rather be under his rulership because he's going to go destroy the Romans, right? You see, there are no two ways about it. I believe that, and we see this in John chapter 16, verse 5, is that the people actually started to chant that Jesus was king, and he understood what was going to happen if it came out too early. So he even leaves. He even leaves to a mountainside and kind of gets away from that because he wasn't ready. It wasn't his moment to be the king yet, but now he's riding to the city and he's called the king. You see, you and I have to understand that as he is entering Jerusalem as king, he's no normal king. He's no normal king. He's no Caesar. And again, think about that audience, the ones experiencing in this life. You see, Caesar, the way in which Caesar conducted business, he conducted business through force, through fear, through bloodshed. He was the human epitome of power. In fact, he was even viewed as a god. And see, we're so used to the word gospel, right? If you're a believer, or you've had any interaction with a believer, you've heard the good news of the gospel. You've heard what that looks like. And see, sometimes I think in our world today, we forgot the meaning, and we forgot the real roots of what this word really comes from us. And see, we're so used to that word that it's kind of lost that original meaning. But in those days, when the Roman Empire went off, when they left and conquered another land in the name of their god Caesar, and they would kill all the men and violate the women and destroy all the homes, the soldiers would come back parading through town or parading through city by city in the land, announcing the gospel according to Caesar. And they would chant the good news of the latest victory of Caesar, that another land had been conquered for their god Caesar, and that Caesar's enemies have been killed. You see, and when they would walk into these cities, people would wave these palm branches at them, that they had won, that they were victorious. See, Caesar, he ruled in fear, and he ruled in force and in bloodshed. But Jesus, that was his gospel. That was the gospel of Caesar, was the way he led. But Jesus' good news, the gospel of Christ, the one that you and I hold on the other hand, cannot be any more different. Instead of riding into town on a proud war horse, Jesus enters atop a colt. Incidentally, this is prophesied by Zechariah years before. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly." This is prophetic for those people. You need to rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It goes on to the next verse and says, "He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." You see, this is so countercultural in what would be impossible for Rome not to take notice. How Jesus entered the city, being called a king, was so countercultural that Rome was not going to put a blind eye to it. You see, Rome was in charge of peace. They were the ones that were in charge of it. They were the ones that had to enforce it. But they had peace through powerful force and coercion. And their dominion was from sea to shining sea. So you can see why they would get so upset when Jesus comes in and there's prophetic words about him bringing peace at a time where there was none. You see, Jesus' peace, on the other hand, is not put on display through force. In fact, that sort of peace, which biblically is called Pax Romana, is what it was known by, is stripped of all its power by Jesus. For without chariots, without war horses and battle bows, how can power and force truly be displayed? The only way it was going to be displayed is what we see on Good Friday when Jesus goes to the cross. You see, this is just one of the reasons why Jesus had to be done away with. As the story progresses over the course of a week, you see where it goes. You see what happens when somebody, when the Roman kingdom was being threatened. And this is the thing about power. Our human kingdom simply cannot handle a king like Jesus. Our kingdoms love power over others. Our kingdoms need force as the most trusted tool. Our kingdoms need weapons of war. But the kingdom of God, however, the kingdom of Jesus, that he spent his life striving to bring out, has no room for such things. You see, his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, is full of love, it's full of humility, it's full of service, it's full of grace, it's full of mercy and compassion. It's a kingdom on display that, man, even has radical forgiveness for others. And how many times in your life and my life have we needed radical forgiveness? You see, and that's the kingdom that Jesus is about. You see, but it's a kingdom that is always a reality. Should we choose to live in it? You see, we're either waving palm branches or we're asking, who is this guy? You're either claiming today that Jesus is victorious or you're wondering who he is. You see, and fear will grip us and it brings consequences. And sometimes we feel that urge within us to trust Jesus as our king, the way that these people had to do it. They had to fully trust Jesus as their king. But what happens is fear creeps in. Something happens and fear creeps in. But many times what we fear about following Jesus isn't Jesus, but what choosing Jesus might require of us. You see, some of us get so worried about what Jesus will require of us that we're really not even fearful of Jesus. But when you understand the triumphal entry and how Jesus rode in, and he didn't ride in with coercion and force and the ability to bring fear. He rode in with humility. He rode in with humbleness, peace. And if I were to take the words of Jesus, I love the Message version of this. Some of us are in a place today that you need victory. You need victory over your mind. You need victory over your home. You need victory over your finances. But if I were to say this, most of us need victory over our heart. And that's where Jesus wants to be, in our heart. Some of you are sitting where you're at today, fearful of what's happening in this world. Let me tell you, Jesus will enter this world, in your world, and handle everything like he always does. He will bring peace. He will bring humbleness. And I'm reminded in the Message version of Matthew chapter 11, this is Jesus speaking. He understood the hardship of what the audience was feeling, what the people that he was walking with. He understood what they were dealing with, the heaviness on their hearts. You see, when fear creeps in, it says, Jesus expects all of this from me. He expects some of us are even sitting there thinking in our lives on a daily basis, when I fix myself, then I'll turn to Jesus. You don't need to worry about that today. You see, the beauty about Palm Sunday was that when Jesus entered, he entered with the ability to take care of everything that you think you could do. He would solve it. He would take care of it. But listen to the words of Jesus in the Message version in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says this. This is Jesus. This is the king. This is the one. This is the guy that would come and release the Romans. And look how he speaks. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? He says, come to me. You take the step, right? He goes on, he says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Goes on in the next verse, says, I will show you how to take a real rest. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And I love this. He says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There is so much packed into this passage. I would highly recommend that you hold on to this passage this week. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Hold on to it this week. You see a few bold words in this. You see things like, come to me. Jesus saying, I'm here. Now you take a step. You take a step. Wherever you're at in your house today, take a step towards Christ. You see, because he wants to get away with you. He wants you to get away from this world that is so loud and so, I mean, right now it is louder than it's ever been. Fear and worry is louder than it's ever been. Distraction is louder than it's ever been. Isolation is louder than it's ever been. You see, Jesus wants to get away with you. And he says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'm not going to give you anything that's too heavy for you. You see this group of people anxious for a king, anxious to see this world around them change. And I know that in your world right now, whatever you're dealing with, I know that that's part of who we are right now. Each and every one of us is craving for this world to change around us, that we don't feel the way that we need to feel. You see, when it says that Jesus came in humbly and he came to bring peace, I truly believe that. Your home right now, that's what he wants to do. That's simply what he wants to do, is he wants to bring peace. You see, but you and I have to make a decision. Is Jesus the king over my kingdom? Jesus even tells us when he first comes on the scene, he makes the statement. His message that he started teaching to people was repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repentance was change your thinking, change your direction, follow me. And he makes the statement, for the kingdom of God is near. It's a lot closer than you think it is. That freedom you desire is a lot closer than you think it is. Don't be so bound by religion. Think right now about what you truly desire in your heart, and Jesus is the one that can bring it to you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Let's change our thinking. Let's change our hearts today. Change direction and trust Jesus and follow him. You see, and some may ask, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It's pretty simple. You just say yes to whatever he asks of you. You see, following Jesus is simple as a yes, and I believe. That's all the work that you have to do, and honestly, it's not even work, it's faith. Step out in faith today, just say yes. What God wants to do in my life today. You can't get yesterday back no matter how much you try, but you can have victory today. You can wave palm branches today for the Jesus that's walking inside your home, for the Jesus that's coming in triumphal today. You can, if you choose. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us. It's the whole, and conviction carries a weight to it. But it's not conviction like you're guilty. It's conviction like you're meant for a different kingdom. You're worth more than this. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job, the Father's job, to judge on where we're at. It's your job and my job to just simply love and believe. So we have those branches in our hands today. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to raise them in victory today for the king that's come? Or are you going to be one of those people that says, who is he? You see, because there was that group of people. Who is this guy? If that's you today, no matter where you're at, I want to ask you whether you're going to raise those branches or you're wondering who Jesus is. Let me tell you, Jesus is the king that's going to go put on display this week, the Holy Week. He's going to put on display what true love is all about. Sacrifice his life for you and me. So here's the thing. Raise the branches this week. Find the place, the solitary place that you can go with Jesus and talk to him and speak to him. Raise the volume on your worship music. Whatever it looks like for you, just find that time and Jesus will meet you there. And you can raise those branches of victory today because Jesus has come and he's going to take care of everything that you could possibly think of. The gospel of Jesus is that he came to seek you out and save those that were lost. The greatest day of my life, August 27th, 2001, is the day that I was lost and I became found. Has it been perfect? Of course not. But man, do I serve a perfect Jesus who can fix things and adjust things and take things that I thought would break me and actually turn them into something that's part of a story. Some of you right now, you have a story to tell. There's something in you that God wants to bring out of you to change the world. And he's going to do it in your home right now. So don't worry about the kingdom that you've been living in. Choose today to step into the kingdom of Jesus, the heavenly place. We'll take care of this. This horizontal world will take care of itself. Jesus will be in the midst of that. But make sure your heart on a vertical level with Jesus is taken care of. So I want to pray with you right where you're at. And just ask that you would, as we always say, just open hands. Open hands. It's not my will, Lord. It's your will. Open hands. So if you would, right where you're at, even if your kids are climbing all over you, and the dogs are barking. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you right now, and we celebrate Palm Sunday. Jesus, we've been waiting. Some of us have been waiting for victory in our life. We've been waiting for the oppression that's been covering us and around us to be free. And so, Jesus, we raise our palm branches today in victory, that we're going to serve a Jesus that is the King over our lives. We ask right now, Jesus, that you would accept us as we are. And Jesus, but not leave us here. Help us, Jesus, to walk this out with you as we enter Holy Week. Jesus, help us to just take steps towards you every single day. So Jesus, as it's Palm Sunday, we raise our palms today. We raise those palm branches in victory, knowing that we serve a King and a Jesus who's humble, who has peace, who brings the ability to give us rest. And I pray that for each and every person listening right now, God, that you'd give their heart rest, you'd give their mind rest. God, that you would unite marriages, friendships. God, that you just help us to navigate the world that we're living in. God, that we would be lights into this world right now. And so we love you, we thank you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name.